It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 21st day of November 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us hooting and hollering on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you'd like to. Well, it's the handiest, dandiest way to pick up the podcast. If you're a podcast listener, just go to HeadOn.live and click on the tab that says podcast. And if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, well, just click on chat room and bebop in there. And if you've already got a screen name and a password, hop right in. If you don't, well, make one up and jump in, and you will be immediately welcomed early in the broadcast this evening by the likes of Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. And he is ably assisted this evening by pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And Sparky apparently dodged the power outrage, briefly lost internet, but it is right there. I mean, that's the power of a third-stage guild navigator. He folded right into the chat room. So come on by. The conversation is fine. Every program at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. Thanks to David in Vermont, and thank you to Joan in Tallahassee for being partial sponsors of the program. I cannot thank you enough, or thank all of the subscribers enough, and thank the a la carte contributors who jump in as deemed necessary and as deemed able during the course of the program through the month, month in, month out. And the fundraising goal for this evening stands at $915. And if we add in tomorrow, that's $1,115. And well, the nice part of that wipes out fundraising for the month of November. So if we can raise $1,115 between now and tomorrow, then we'll have fundraising free radio for the remainder of the month. And that requires some program notes. And that pertains as to next week. Mike and Kathy and Molly have to go out of town and ask me to fill in for them next week. So our programs Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will be truncated. We'll go from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then I'll be filling in for Malloy from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, possibly Friday as well. So the other thing I was planning on doing is I've kind of made a tradition of working the major holidays. I don't think I'll be working Christmas. I don't think I'll be behind the mic at Christmas this year or New Year's. But I see no reason for us not to be on the air together for Thanksgiving evening, if anybody's up for that. So depending on what Sparky, of course, being the moderator of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable Group has a lot of say-so in this. But I was thinking we might do a Thanksgiving on the front porch program. And that way we'll get our front porch in. And, of course, November ends with, well, next week. Thanksgiving is the 28th, the day after so-called Black Friday is the 29th. And then December comes in on Sunday, a week from this coming Sunday. Okay, does that make any sense? Clear as mud? Yeah, sure. And so that's where, you know, as far as any immediate program notes are concerned, that's where everything stands. I need to update you. You know, I mentioned Tuesday evening that I might not be here Wednesday, and that was indeed the case. I took Boss Man Wayne over for a scheduled procedure, and he had it. And it's amazing how quickly they can do these things these days. But they couldn't quite do them fast enough for me to take him from the hospital to his home and then back here to the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. So that's why I wasn't here last night. But the good news is Boss Man Wayne got through the procedure, and everything is hunky-dory and wonderful. And he'll be going forward and hopefully feeling better than he has been. That's not to say he's been feeling poorly, but it could be better. Could be better. Thank you very kindly to Glenn up in New York for getting us started this evening with a message a la carte. Thank you, Glenn. So that gets us down to, let's not add in tomorrow yet. That gets us down to 9:05. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you so very much indeed. Now, nice little group has wandering in. Kiazzi and Jimmy and Flavio's in the chat room. Hey, gang, tell your friends and neighbors, come on by. How can I put this without sounding like a jerk?
Yeah, but you're so good at it, Bob. Quit telling yourself how not to sound like a jerk, Bob.
I'm kind of beginning to yearn for being able to not have one thing and one thing only consume the news cycle. I mean, this is grave business, what's taking place in the House of Representatives and the impeachment inquiry in the House Intelligence Committee, or at least, well, the House Halfway Intelligent Committee, because there are, after all, maggots in the room, and that significantly diminishes the idea of there being any intelligence in there. And today was no different. I'll say what I've said before. If it weren't for the fact that they're maggots, I would almost feel sorry for the minority side of these hearings. Because every time they think they've come up with something to turn the conversation away from the obvious criminality of Nitwit Nero, what does Kirk say in Wrath of Khan? You keep trying, but you just keep missing the mark. Yeah. It's like that. So, I don't know. You wonder if it's intentional or it's just because they don't have anything to work with. Or are they just, these Republicans, as stupid as they so clearly appear to be? And today was a big deal because Fiona Hill came to testify. Steve in New York. Shades of Maxwell Smart. Missed it by that much. Right. And Dr. Hill is a highly intelligent woman who has spent a career as a foreign service diplomat, functionary. As was noted repeatedly today, she literally wrote the book on Pooty Poot. Knows him and his ways as well as anyone in the Western world. And she is apparently as tough as nails, because she set a marker down today aimed specifically at the maggots, the Conaways and the Ratcliffes and the Jim Shorts Jordans and the Moo Moo Devons of the world, and made it clear early on that she was not there to put up with any of their bullshit. And I wondered how somebody with such a posh accent could possibly where did she get the wherewithal to be how she is what I'm saying. Well, the answer, and she's the English equivalent of a hillbilly. That's where. I don't know how hilly the northeast of England is, but it's coal country. And I can't imagine her doing a real bang-up job with Loretta Lynn's I was born a coal miner's daughter. No. Oh, I'm being corrected by Flavio. That's not a posh accent, Bob. That's a Northumberland accent. Well, it's posh. It's posh. Look, anything that sounds like it came from the Sceptred Isle sounds posh in the United States. But no, she's from coal country. And that generally denotes someone who has lived a tough-as-nails existence. Especially if you were a coal miner's kid as opposed to some coal boss's kid. Tough. And she obviously worked her ass off to acquire a great deal of subject matter expertise. Now, I know that Nitwit Nero has attacked David Holmes today on Twitter, saying that it was impossible for anybody to overhear one of his perfect conversations. What did he say precisely? Because this is really kind of stupidly funny, as are so many of the things that, well, they're funny in a tragic for the country kind of way. Yeah, there it is. He went to Twitter, Nitwit Nero did, and said, I've been watching people making phone calls my entire life. My hearing is and has been great. Never have I been watching a person making a call which was not on speakerphone and been able to hear or understand a conversation. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is there's a shit ton of things that Nitwit Nero doesn't understand. That's why he's President Dunning-Kruger. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And there's a lot of conversations he obviously doesn't understand, but he does understand when he's, you know, trying to run a mob-style grift. Never have I been watching a person making a call which was not on speakerphone and been able to hear or understand a conversation. I've even tried, but to no avail. Try it live. In other words, he says, David,
David Holmes could not possibly have heard what he testified under oath and subject to a charge of perjury that he heard. And curiously, even the maggots on the committee weren't willing to go that far. And anybody who lives in modern cell phone culture knows that, yeah, you can hear things. Especially when the person on the other end of the line is being about half deafened and pulls the phone back from his ear. Yeah, you can hear. And of course, the like him or hate him, and I think we know how I feel, you can, it's hard to miss his stupid, Adderall sinus clogged, illegal immigrant mammy influenced voice. Yeah. So, you know, witness tampering, witness intimidation. Look, like I said, there's a lot of things he doesn't understand. But one of the things he does understand, because Bill Barr, the prosecution, made it abundantly clear to him, is that he can't be prosecuted while he's president of the United States, because some time back, some asshole in the Office of Legal Counsel declared that for federal government purposes and for law enforcement purposes and judicial purposes, the president of the United States is, in fact, above the law and cannot be charged nor prosecuted for any crime he commits while he is in office. So, Nitwit Nero doesn't hesitate, and the other lawyers have told him things too. They've taught him things about statutes of limitations. And he knows that he can do these crimes, and as long as the Department of Justice continues to say that the President of the United States is above the law, well, he'll get away with it. And I mention the OLC memo because, in addition to a very busy day of testimony yesterday, followed by another busy day today, in the middle of it all, why, by Jove, we had ourselves a Democratic presidential pageant. Did you watch? I had Agnes strap me to the mast. She put beeswax in her ears, and I sat there and watched and listened and barked and howled and shrieked a little bit. Well, yeah, that's true, Brother Deacon Asa. I'd say, Brother Deacon says, Trump is more like President Dunning Freddy Krueger with that kisser of his, that, you know, that cat's ass mouth. Yeah, well, but that sort of what I was, the OLC, the president being above the law, came up during the pageant. And as I was waiting, you know, I don't sacrifice rubber chickens to the goddess of irony every night, but I am a fairly faithful postulant. And so last night, she answered. In the moments leading up to the bum 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 bum, you know, beauty pageant set, you know, the swinging cameras and all of that horse shit. In the moments leading up to that, the pre-show crowd took a break and they went to commercial. And if there was any doubt remaining that these are not debates, if there was any suspicion left that there might be some sort of civic virtue in these pageants, It ended last night with an ad that ran shortly before the actual pageant began. Because the folks at MSNBC took some great big horse-gagging wad of money from a racist bunch in, apparently, California. Sorry. I mean, y'all got yours, too. You write and you tell me. I just feel bad. I want somewhere to be a haven of decency in this country. And, well, you know, whatever. But, and I can't even remember the name of the group, but it was animated poorly. And it was 30 seconds or 60 talking about how we found us a poll what says American peoples wants to cut immigration by half in these here new 90 states of America. Yeah, right. The so-called liberal cable network, MSNBC, accepted money from a group, a racist group, a nationalist group that wants to cut immigration into this country by half. And by the way, according to the terms of its own ad, they're talking about the legal kind. And of course, when they talk about immigration, we know who they're talking about. You know, the wrong coloreds. They're not talking about all those Russians who come here and have babies in Miami that then have dual United States citizenship. That's not who they're talking about. But that set the scene for me, and I just sort of, well, how about that? MSNBC, you got to wonder, would they have accepted an ad from La Raza? Nah, me neither. I don't think so. But, you know, the check cleared, so what the fuck? Run it! And there were a couple of moments, strictly entertainment moments, in the pageant. But a couple of them stood out for me. I don't know if they did for you. But they got around to asking, and it was a big, big deal because all the moderators were millionaire women. Rachel Maddow, Mrs. Greenspan, Kristen Welker, and Ashley Parker from the Washington Post. Now, is she the daughter of the columnist for the Washington Post by the name of Parker? I don't know. I don't know. But one of those four multimillionaires, and yeah, I'm going to keep mentioning the fact that they're multimillionaires. I don't give a damn about gender. The differentiating feature is the fact that they are and were all millionaires. I don't know. Maybe Kristen Welker hasn't been around long enough, but she's probably getting pretty. She's bound to be in six figures and working towards seven. No doubt that Rachel Maddow and Mrs. Greenspan are in seven figures. And yeah, it colors one's perception. Because, for instance, talking about health care, it's hard to talk about the necessity of Medicare for all if you've never had to worry for a moment about what would happen if you badly needed to go to the doctor and had no coverage. But one of those, there were a couple of moments, but one of those millionaires asked a question of Grandpa Joe. It went something like this.
When he was campaigning, Donald Trump frequently got his audience to chant, "Lock her up," about Hillary Clinton. Now, some people are chanting, "Lock him up," at campaign rallies for Democratic candidates. Grandpa Joe, is that a good thing? Grandpa Joe, is that right? And Grandpa Joe, who was not having the best night, he'd sort of stumbled out of the gate. Grandpa Joe said, "No, it's not right. It's not right for anybody to yell, 'Lock him up,' about anybody. Or lock her up." Of course, they're yelling, "Lock him up," about Grandpa Joe now, too. The maggots are. And it got under my skin more than a little bit. First of all, objection to the form of the question. Because, and I heard it, I just didn't bother to chase it down. Ralph's telling me, Ashley Park, Ralph's serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department this evening. Born in Bethesda, Maryland. And I'm trying to remember, she was a right-wing, you know, Republican, conservative columnist. And I'm trying, maybe we'll find out. Doesn't say who her mama and daddy are. Not that I can find, just on the fly. But wasn't there a conservative Republican, Kathleen Parker, wasn't that her name? With the Washington Post? That, well, whatever. But anyway, Grandpa Joe said we shouldn't, Americans should not be yelling, lock anybody up at political rallies. You know, because over here on our side, we're supposed to be Simon Pure and Simon Simple. But the form of the question was what pissed me off the most. And what I mean by that is shame on the person who asked it. Because in asking it in the way that they did, the particular individual blew right past the fundamental difference between yelling "lock her up" about Hillary Clinton and yelling "lock him up" about Nitwit Nero. And I'm sure you already know what that fundamental difference is. The fundamental difference between the two being that Nitwit Nero is, among other things, an unnamed co-conspirator in no less than 4 federal felonies and has only not been charged with it because he is protected, again, by that Office of Legal Counsel memo that says that the President of the United States is above the law. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, has never committed so much as jaywalking. And so there is an extremely unsubtle difference between yelling "lock her up" about someone who has committed no crime and you simply want her out of the way because the thug that you support is pants-shitting terrified of her, and yelling "lock him up" about a guy who can barely open his mouth or tweet with his tiny little thumbs without committing some gross violation of the federal criminal code and has spent the better part of his life very likely violating numerous and sundry provisions, not only of the federal code, but of the criminal statutes of the state of New York. Amen. In other words, whoever it was on that multimillionaire moderating panel dove headlong into sickening both-siderism. The bullshit duality, the false dichotomy of both sides do it-ism. And they used Grandpa Joe to advance their both-siderist agenda. Shame on her. Shame. And from the Department of Catty and Tacky, I really think Mrs. Greenspan and Tulsi Gabbard should have coordinated before, you know, because if Tulsi wanted to wear white after Labor Day, well, that's cool, but Mrs. Greenspan shouldn't have worn something that made her look like she was a member of Team Tulsi. Like I said, Catty, Tacky. I apologize. But there was another moment in the pageant. And again, it was another Grandpa Joe moment. When, yes, in fact, that Office of Legal Counsel memo came up. And Grandpa Joe appeared to approve of that legal maxim that has never been tested in any court, never been announced as a matter of law by the Supreme Court, and is merely guidance from some bureaucrat deep in the bowels of the Department of Justice, namely, that, well, the President of the United States is above the law. He said that's a matter for the courts, whether a sitting president has violated the law. Well, as it stands, Grandpa Joe, it's only a matter for the courts after the president leaves office and if the statute of limitations of the relevant criminal violation hasn't run by the time said president exeunts. Me, you know, I like that democracy thingy. So I tend to think that it's a matter for we, the people of the United States, working on forming that more perfect union. That we should elect people who will go to the Congress and introduce a constitutional amendment that says, in no wise shall the President of the United States ever be deemed to be above the law. The President of the United States shall be chargeable with crimes and prosecutable. Although I'm sure there's some somebody out there from a law school wearing a corduroy jacket with elbow patches on it and chomping madly on a meerschaum pipe, saying, "No, no, we can't do that. Well, we've got to let the president." We've got to let the president be a law unto himself while he's in office. Harumph. Oh, yeah, I know, Brother Deacon. Oh, come on, Bob. Hillary Clinton spoke to some bankers about money. That right there's a criminal conduct. I know.
Stop telling us what's criminal conduct, Bob.
But I found it... Well, it told me more than a little bit about where Grandpa Joe's head is these days. So, of course, the usual disclaimer applies. I will vote for Grandpa Joe if Grandpa Joe is the nominee of the Democratic Party. And I hope most of us have the good sense to do the same. Stephen New York says, President be a law unto himself. Sounds an awful lot like a king, or Fuhrer, as it were, to me. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where we are. And, you know, Bill Barr made it clear. Bob Mueller practically had it tattooed on the back of his neck. That's why I said, you know, he took a dive from jump, because he entered his investigation with the understanding that no matter what he found, he was not going to recommend anything relative to Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is above the law. That's one of those things that's on the list of shit we've got to attend to if we can get rid of this goon on the third day of November 2020. Because if we don't, someday a president really will start shooting people or committing other obvious gross violations of the law, and we'll be stuck with, I can't do anything about that. And I know it's a little bit over the top, and for that I suppose I apologize. But if, right now, Adderall'd up to his creepy comb over, and you know how it is with speed freaks. I mean, remember the story from the other night? The two women and the daddy hit the guy in the head, fired him up with meth, and then strangled him. I mean, that, you know, it's meth behavior. It's methed up, man, methed up. Well, if our speed freak president decides to walk outside, asks a Secret Service agent for his sidearm, and proceeds to start blowing people away, nobody will do anything about it. Because at present, the President of the United States is above the law. But you can't get any of these millionaires in the media to put it in terms that Emery and Marvelline, sitting back home in the Barca loungers, can understand like that. Just like nobody in, except like me, nobody in Congress, nobody in the multimillionaire, none of the multimillionaires in the media will patiently explain that what Donald Trump was trying to do was to get Ukraine to tell lies about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. I have not heard anyone say that. When that's exactly, because
You know, I want to hear three words. Biden, Clinton, investigation.
He didn't even care if the investigation came to a conclusion. Because he could just... We were 2 days away. Do we realize how close we were? Do we realize how close we were to Volodymyr Zelensky doing as he was told? It was all set up. We talked about this last week. He was all ready to go and be interviewed by Fareed Zakaria of CNN and announced the investigation that had been demanded of him. We were 2 days away from that. I don't know. You? Would it have been better if he had gone ahead and done it? Would we then have the actus reus and the completion of the criminal act? I don't think so. Because Nitwit Nero would have just denied everything as he's denied this. But then he would be running around the country at this moment saying, even the Ukraine realized the Bidens were dirty. That's why Hunter Biden's being investigated. Okay? This is not academic, it's not processual, it's not procedural, it's not... This is an overt threat to constitutional governance in the United States of America. It was kind of weird yesterday while I was at the hospital with Boss Man Wayne. The hearings were on in the waiting room of the hospital. Usually it's something benign or innocuous like QVC or the Home Shopping Network. What's that? Steve in New York says, I don't like my email. I'm not trying to be ageist, and I don't think I am, but I'm saying this to make sure that's not my intention, but God, I hate this preface. Bob, I have to look at things as I see them. Joe is starting to exhibit the symptoms of a person experiencing onset senility or even dementia. It's sad, and the last thing we want people doing is feeling sorry for our candidate. That is a surefire 100% loser. And see, there was another moment like that, too. And we go, ha, 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 his senior moment, chuckle, chuckle, no. Because here on this program, we talked about the fact that, well, the other day, Grandpa Joe declared that the marijuanas is a gateway drug. Which a lot of people used to say. They were wrong then, they're still wrong. But it was the fuddy-duddies who, you know, didn't understand that cannabis is wildly different from, say, opium or its derivative heroin or coke or meth. But the gateway drug thing has been scientifically eliminated as a reality, Jesus, for years now. And so it was both infuriating and pitiful, pathetic, and no small amount scary when Grandpa Joe said that the marijuanas are a gateway drug. And so Cory Booker, who is still in the race, I mean, Jesus Christ, last night, Julian Castro was not on the stage, but Tom Steyer, Andrew Yang, and Tulsi Gabbard were. Julian Castro has more real presidential chops than all three of those people put together. Anyway, Cory Booker, desperate to build some oomph, put some heft behind his campaign, came loaded for bear. Actually, he came loaded for Grandpa Joe. Because one of Cory Booker's, as is the case with Kamala Harris, one of his signature talking points is that we need to legalize cannabis, which is, there's really not about, there's not a valid argument against it. There might be some geezer arguments against it. Jim's asked a couple of times so far, what about Mayor Peter? We'll get to him in a minute, perhaps. I frankly don't care. But if he's my party's nominee, I'll vote for him. But Cory Booker jumped in and was prepared and looked at, and it was the moment of the night when he looked at Grandpa Joe and said, the other day you said marijuana was a gateway drug, and it made me wonder if you were high when you said it. And the entire room there in Atlanta had a humongous several seconds long guffaw at Grandpa Joe's expense. And Cory Booker made several salient points, namely that the prohibition on cannabis has had huge and horrifying effects on the African American community, on young people, and that it's part and parcel, that prohibition, of why it was so easy to send so many people to prison under Biden's much touted crime bill going back to the 1990s. And so, it was almost like a senior moment or whatever. As soon as Cory Booker got done, Grandpa Joe said, well, I'm for decriminalizing marijuana. Uh-uh. Decriminalizing is not the same as legalizing. It needs to be legalized and regulated with the same sort of vigor that we apply to tobacco and alcohol. We can even rename the BATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Doobie, and Firearms, if it makes somebody happy. But as if he had never said that marijuana is a gateway drug, Grandpa Joe just said, well, I'm for decriminalization. I know, accent. But it's better than doing my Grandpa Simpson voice. Which, sadly, frankly, I tend to hear when I hear Grandpa Joe talk. Flavio with a note. The pity is our side has nothing near a Fox News channel pumping out big lies 24/7. Or on our side, big truths. No, we don't. We've got a news network that runs racist anti-immigrant ads in before Democratic pageants. I went looking this morning. I couldn't find anybody out there who was at all bothered by that. I don't think I'm wrong for thinking it's bad to run a racist anti-immigrant ad on that channel. Yeah, Flavio pointing out, marijuana equals gateway drug is so 19. That's so 19, that is dead. That's just your brain. That's just your brain on drugs. Hey, dude, you gonna eat that? Emery and Marveline, Steve in New York says,
hey, what is this quid pro quo thing, Emery? It's clear our Jeebus man Trump aren't no quid amateur pro. Is that one of those things? Is that the Q in the LGBTQ? Is that, I don't know. It gets confusing. I still wonder what happened to that nice young man, that Shepard Smith.
It doesn't have to be your last email, Steve. Steve says, Mayor Pete, this guy is the Milli Vanilli to Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg and disgusting hedge fund oligarchs. Ooh, Milli Vanilli, that's cold. But, yeah, he caught my attention last night, and I was surprised that nobody called him on it. He should have, given past performances, and given the way that, other front runners have been treated, particularly Elizabeth Warren, nobody really came out going after Mayor Pete. And his Medicare for all who want it. And nobody asked him about that video that surfaced of him snuggling up to the teabaggers. Sorry for the sneeze there. Hence the dead air. You didn't want to hear that. But in talking about Nitwit Nero's trade wars, he said something. And I'm not just looking to be picking at things. I pay attention to language. I probably pay more attention to mine than anyone else's, but I do. I pay attention to language. And at one point last night, Mayor Pete said, oh, and there's another art of word knowing thing in here too. Get to that right now. The use of the possessive pronoun. Possessive pronouns are my, yours, his, hers, theirs, and in particular, our. Oh, you are our. And if you've been paying attention for as long as I have, then you know that this stuff. And by stuff, I mean, in particular, the use of the third person, first person plural possessive pronoun. Is it a pronoun? No, it's not. It's an adjective. It's a possessive adjective. May have to turn in my art of word knowing card. But it started, it goes back to the reign of error and the campaign of 2000 or so. I mean, I think it happened some before that, but it has been, maybe Newt Gingrich had a hand in it. But it's one of those things that that just crawls all over me. And Amy Klobuchar and Mayor Pete both put it to work last night. Amy Klobuchar saying, our miners, our farmers, our widget makers. On the one hand, it's got that offensive whiff to it of some sort of monarchical royalism. We are not amused. Our temper should not be tested in regard to our opinion of our peasants. It ill behooves a member of the Democratic Party to speak of our miners or our farmers, because that gets to be an elite that reaches toward an elitist level that partakes of things like our field hands, our house servants. And it's odious, and it grates on me every blessed time that I hear it. Our. Now, if you say something like our republic, our country, our nation, our union, that's appropriate. Because we are a self-governing nation. And all of us, theoretically, have a stake in the success or failure of our experiment in representative democracy. But there need be no possessive adjective ever put in front of working people, struggling people, citizen people. As Silent R. Lamar says, my bad, our blacks are better than your blacks. Obviously, Silent R gets my point. Our farmers? I wonder how much of an ownership interest I have in somebody who's struggling to hang on to the family farm in the face of ruination from Trump's trade policies and trade wars, the welfare for the vast majority of which isn't going to them, isn't going to our farmers, but is going to those corporations where it becomes their money. Our. If you pay attention to it, if you listen like I listen, and I can't tell you how except to say that I hear human speech like some people hear music. But things like that will, and it gets under my skin because it is expressly anti-democratic. It runs contrary to the foundational ideas of this country. And once again, it's a question no one is ever going None of the multimillionaires of the for-profit media will ever say, Senator Klobuchar, why do you use a possessive adjective to describe farmers? How much of a farmer do you possess? How much of a farmer do you own, Senator? I expect Republicans to talk that way because they think they do have an ownership interest in us proles. But if you've got a D behind your name, that shit needs to disappear yesterday. Oh, and while we're at it, Tom Steyer can take his dreams of term limits and stick it where his billions don't shine. God almighty, term limits. Again, why is there someone on the Democratic debate pageant stage who thinks term limits are a good idea? Term limits are a horrible idea. Horrible, horrible. The single greatest fuck-up we've made in living recent memory. Some are still alive. Living memory. Is to impose a two-term limit on the President of the United States. Someday, it will prove our doom. Someday, we'll be in the middle of some really important shit, and if we've got a good president running things, that president will have to split, because two terms, and then, you know, maybe they'll run a vice president or a former secretary of state, and, we're just going to keep doing what he was doing, so, you know, everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. We got nothing to worry about. And then you get somebody who shambles around and talks like this and turns out to be a fucking speed freak psychopath moron with delusions of being Big Pussy from The Sopranos. Oh, wait, that happened, didn't it? So for Tom Steyer to be out there blabbering about wanting term... Really? Would you like to see Adam Schiff term limited out? Are there any senators we like? How about term limiting out Sherrod Brown? Or how about saying to Cory Booker or Kamala Harris, sorry, you only get to stay for 12 years and then you got to go. Doesn't matter how good you are, doesn't matter how brilliant you are, doesn't matter how well you've done your job, how much dedication you've shown. We've decided that there's just a little too much democracy going on, what with voters being able to vote for whoever they want to. So y'all got to split. How about term limiting Bernie or Elizabeth Warren? And yet, somehow or another, none of those millionaires on the moderating panel had much to say about that either. But finally, yeah, Mayor Pete. And this one did crawl all over me. Ran through me like a dose of salts. He was talking about the trade wars and the miserable effect that it's having, the painful, destructive effect that it's happening on farmers. See how easy it is to just say farmers? You know, putting our in front, and quite often, if it's a nitwit near, oh, great, oh, great.
our great canines in the U.S. Army. I'm going to give him the Medal of Honor and a milk bone. We love our great doggies.
Yeah. And some of that shit really came into high relief with Godzilla from Wasilla. And for some reason or not, what did it test well with some godforsaken focus group out in the heartland, in the homeland? And so there's Mayor Pete talking about the disastrous effects of the trade war on farmers, but can he say farmers? No. He has to say our farmers. Again, I don't know how much of the farmers Mayor Pete owns. But it was what he said after he said farmers, our farmers, that really sent me up a wall. And he didn't say it once. He said it a couple or three times. He said the following. Our farmers are getting killed. Maybe it's just me. But as somebody who has been a Democrat since before he was able to register to vote, who registered as a Democrat every time he has registered to vote in various and sundry states, who has voted for Democrats all his life, who has never, not once, no, never, ever, ever, ever voted for a fucking Republican because fucking Republicans don't have anything in common in terms of where I think this country should be or be going, I grant myself the license to say that in a country where we now buy Kevlar backpacks to stop bullets, and we buy them for five-year-olds so that maybe they'll have a slightly increased chance of survival when the NRA's roulette wheel of death stops in some otherwise peaceful little community, and some school gets shot up, or some movie theater gets shot up, or some nightclub gets shot up, but in particular in regard to the children, I don't think using a murder metaphor for people who are being financially harmed is appropriate. And I wish that Shannon Watts or Moms Demand Action would reach out to Mayor Pete and say, hey, you know, we've mopped up way too much children's blood from our schools. Why don't you stop using killing as a metaphor? Because, see, our farmers may be getting metaphorically killed, but our children are getting really no kidding killed. And Mayor Pete thought that Beto O'Rourke's idea of getting the fuck rid of some of the most effective means of killing our children was just, well, not doable. Sorry. And yeah, along the way, Mayor Pete, in an effort to try to talk about, because he was asked about why he doesn't seem to be getting any traction among the black community, he didn't quite, and the minute he started to go there, I thought of the note we had from Lady B the other night, talking about how she had a hard time equating Mayor Pete's, any bigotry against Mayor Pete for being gay, with, you know, being beaten and lynched and drowned and having a cotton gin fan chain wrapped around your body and thrown in the Pearl River as being the same thing.
It's almost like but again, these are my complaints. Nobody really went after him with any of this stuff. Now, maybe somewhere in Iowa or New Hampshire, maybe there's some crazed, wild-eyed liberal. We've got some Horn Family Community Congregation members in both states. Who maybe somebody will go to one of those things and say, "Hey, Mayor Pete, why don't you stop using killing as a metaphor for financial difficulty? Why don't you reserve for getting killed for our children are because the NRA and the Republican Party? Let's do that, Mayor Pete." And I say this from a place of respect and trying to help. Because if I noticed it, I can't imagine what it would be like to be one of the parents from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas or Sandy Hook and hear him talking about farmers having a hard financial time being the same as them identifying the bleeding bodies of their dead children. That's me. Flavio says, "I despise Klobuchar. Don't quite know why. Don't quite know why Al Franken ever cozied up to her." Well, because they were two Democratic senators from the same state. They had a commonality of interest, Flavio. Flavio adds, "Maybe we should do away with the Senate? Tell me why we have a House of Representatives, plebeians, and a Senate, patricians. Why not just have a unicameral legislature, a unicameral House?" Because the long history of legislatures suggests that they tend to run away with each other. They tend to run away from time to time. And when they run off, when they go crazy, something's got to be there to check them, hence the checks and balances. The Senate was deliberately designed to be undemocratic. The House belongs to the to us pissants out here. And we elect our representatives directly. That was not the case originally with the Senate. The Senate was where cooler heads would prevail while the House was wailing away at each other with staves and sticks and sword canes and whatnot. Silent R. Lamar says, "No, Bob, it's the Republican wet dream." Talking about the term limiting of the president. It was the Republicans who cried when FDR, 13 years. And they wanted to make sure that they never got their asses handed to them the way FDR did ever again. Scott in San Diego says, "Our work is cut out for us in 2020. Don't get me started on the supposed intellect of slack-jawed U.S. voters, Bob. More than a few of them have a dried-up goo-goo cluster where a brain ought to be." Ooh. That's for the reference to a dried-up goo-goo cluster. H.L. Mencken, Scott says, got it right. "No one in this world, so far as I know, and I have searched the records for years and employed agents to help me, has ever lost money by underestimating the intelligence of the great masses of the plain people, nor has anyone ever lost public office thereby." Yeah, wasn't it also Mencken who said that eventually the American people would get their heart's desire in a president and elect an absolute moron? I think that was Mencken, too. Darlene in Connecticut says, "It's pretty clear, though, that hit him below the belt Tulsi Gabbard got under Pete's skin. He was steaming, and you could see he engaged in practiced breath control to calm himself down. By the way, he's very practiced and practically perfect on the ideal candidate checklist, which is why I'm concerned about him and think he's slippery, although I haven't worked up the nerve to tell my gay and lesbian friends who really like him and like him for understandable reasons. You want to get under Pete's skin? Question his military service like Tulsi did. It may have even been more infuriating for Pete that it was coming from Tulsi, another veteran. All the more reason to watch your back when it comes to Tulsi Gabbard, too." Yeah, her regime change war bullshit is a mite out of date. Because we weren't engaged in regime change in Syria. We were just trying to keep the Syrians and the Russians and the Turks from committing a fucking genocide on our watch against the Kurds. But again, if you pay attention to language, you'll notice that last night Tulsi referred to the Bush-Clinton-Trump blah, 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 blah. Somehow or another, she left Obama out of it. Wonder why. I mean, after all, Barack Obama did appoint Hillary Clinton to be his first Secretary of State. Man, I wouldn't trust Tulsi Gabbard with the carcass of a run-over skunk, even if she is wearing it on her head. Ooh, sorry. And the business, and Kamala Harris got her. Talking about her going up to kiss Donald Trump's hairy toe and groveling after a cabinet position. That had to sting. Maybe, just maybe, please, sweet Jesus, she won't be on the next pageant stage. Uh-oh, Jack in Shreveport. Mayor Pete, NFSD, that's not safe for dinner. Why doesn't somebody go after him on some issues? I don't know, but I did notice that Chris Matthews had something running down his leg while interviewing him. Okay, yeah, you're right, Jack. Meanwhile, Silent R says, I'm happy I don't live on or never or near the plains, so my brain works well. Hey, Silent R. Don't pick on the Heartland members of the community. Just because you happen to live in Talibandiana, it doesn't mean that, no, as our buddy Dave from the Blind proves almost nightly. God, and that's, you know, that was just the pageant. I gotta admit, like I said, I've been hungry for something to talk about besides the hearings. The hearings are compelling, but one of the things about doing something like this program is that you have to make certain assumptions about what folks are paying attention to. Sparky sent this along. The California Bureau of Cannabis Control. Why can't we have one of those federally? So that we can make sure that the weed doesn't have fentanyl in it. Or anything else for that matter. Or that the vape cartridges don't have fentanyl in it. Or that the herb isn't sprinkled with bath salts. Or fake weed. What do you mean, Jim? Mayor Pete, Bob? How many times? I don't know what that means. Steve in New York says, I know I said it was my last email last time, but I can't help it. I didn't watch the pageant. There was a Winnipeg Jets game on. However, it seems to me that the Syrian and Russian checks are still clearing, but she's not received any new or accurate talking points for a while. Regime change! Silent R says, correction, it's Los Strangerless. And Steve in New York says, hey, Silent R, I'm an Ohio native, the home of professional baseball, the Wright brothers, seven presidents, and the most important natives, the Ohio State Buckeyes, and me. See, I told you, Silent R, don't be doing that shit. So we are not quite to, but approaching the halfway point of this evening's program. And thanks to Glenn for getting us started this evening. We have $905 to go to come up with even for this week. That's as deep a hole as we've been in a while. But yeah, 905 to go. Brother Deacon Asa with a question. What grown-up serious candidate for office calls himself Pete? Will he go by President Pete, too? I don't know that. I don't know that Peter helps much. Because, well, America has a filthy mind, especially the Republicans. So, I got, this being Thorn in the Side Thursday, I got one more thing, and then maybe we can talk about, or run some clips from, or whatever, the hearings today, because, you know, there were some noteworthy clips. But again, something I caught that probably very few did. What's his fuck? That snide little piece of shit Republican... what's his name? Mike Conaway. He seems to get a charge out of Damn it, says Jack in Shreveport. Buckeye Newshawk Award. Buckeye Newshawk Award. Buckeye Newshawk Award. Who is it that mentioned the sports? Who's to blame for this? Nice reference to the Buckeye Newshawk Award. Congratulations on that Proud Pig Award, Les. It's the Silver Sow, Johnny. Right you are, Les. Steve in New York says, in fairness to Mayor Pete, remember, the reason he uses Pete is because so few Americans can say Buttigieg. But, no, the one other thing.
Yeah, just one more thing, ma'am. Just one more question.
Mike Conaway. Oh, he's a snide fuck. I can imagine that puppies, kittens, and little children all go in the opposite direction when they see him.
Hey, come here, kid.
He's one of those Republicans who just remind you how awful Republicans are. And so today, in his attempt to cross-examine Dr. Fiona Hill, he ran up on something that maybe the rest of the world said, you know, so what? I'd like to think I'm not the only one, but and it's highly unlikely that I am. But he started asking questions of Dr. Hill based on the fact that Dr. Hill had served notice at the beginning of her testimony that she was not going to put up with any of the bullshit narratives that the Republicans have been peddling day in and day out. So, you know, this is kind of the background on that. Come on. There we go.
Based on questions and statements I've heard, some of you on this committee appear to believe that Russia and its security services did not conduct a campaign against our country, and that perhaps, somehow, for some reason, Ukraine did. This is a fictional narrative that has been perpetrated and propagated by the Russian security services themselves. The unfortunate truth is that Russia was the foreign power that systematically attacked our democratic institutions in 2016. This is the public conclusion of our intelligence agencies, confirmed in bipartisan congressional reports. It is beyond dispute, even if some of the underlying details must remain classified.
See? And prior to the hearing, or as the hearing began, when Mumu Devon got his chance for his opening remarks, he said two things can be true at the same time, that Ukraine could have interfered in our election and Russia could have. And she repeatedly pushed back at that and took it apart and tore it into tiny pieces and pissed all over it and ground it beneath her heel. Because it is important that we understand that, no, Ukraine did not. Russia did. And it's beyond question. But when Mike Conaway got to question her, he reached back somewhere up in his sigmoid colon and yanked out a question to her about fracking. And for me, that maybe you heard it too, but for me, this was one of those seminal moments where privilege came running to the fore. And the privilege of someone like Dr. Fiona Hill became broadly apparent. And it's also a thorn in the side, what with this being thorn in the side Thursday. Because what she said in response to whatever shitty, snide question it was that Mike Conaway asked, was that opposition to fracking in the United States is driven by Pooty. Now, see, I'm not... I acknowledge what a vicious, violent, brutal, bigoted dictator Pooty is. But unlike the Republicans during the 8 years of Barack Obama, let's think back to warmer days, and let's say that I fuck up a rack of ribs on the acorn. And they're practically ossified. And they're inedible. I don't look at them and bang them on the table and go, "God damn it, Putin!" On the other hand, we had 8 years of Republicans blaming Barack Obama if someone brought them a cold coffee and they hadn't ordered it that way. Fucking Obama, God damn it, our White House. But when Dr. Fiona Hill said that people who oppose fracking are doing Pooty's work for him, I wasn't okay. Because that was just a statement of unmitigated 200-proof bullshit. And it tells us more about the life that Dr. Hill has never lived than it did about Republicans or Democrats or career civil servants or even Pooty. And just two nights ago, as we wrapped up the program, I was talking about the fact that, lauding California Governor Gavin Newsom for imposing a moratorium on new leases and new permits to frack California. So that maybe California, far more desperate for water than Pennsylvania, will not get as much of its native water fucked up as Pennsylvania, otherwise known as Fracksylvania, has. There's a reason there's a moratorium on fracking in Pennsylvania's neighbor to the north, New York. And so it really annoyed. No, it pissed me off. It did. It pissed me off. Because it's obvious that Dr. Hill has never bathed her children in water that she later found out was poisonous. Dr. Hill has never watched her children's teeth dissolve in their heads because the water was poisonous. Dr. Hill, as brilliant as she is, probably doesn't know shit from Shinola about ultrafine particulate matter that causes shockingly elevated rates of birth defects in central Appalachia. And yet she blithely agreed with Representative Conaway when he said that opposing fracking is a Russian plot. Let's be clear. Fracking matters a lot to Pootie because he doesn't really have an economy to speak of. Russia doesn't make anything that the rest of the world really wants. Remember all those generations when the Soviet Union would have fucking starved to death if we hadn't fed them? And that was back when Ukraine was the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. Fracking's all they got. Hydrocarbons are all they have. And so Pootie would like to see his country have a larger share of the hydrocarbon market on a world basis. Because, among other things, that means there's more money for him and his oligarch pals to steal. Because that's another thing that Pootie is. He's a fucking thief. No wonder he and Trump get along so well. And he has robbed, just as the czars did, just as the Soviet bosses did, the Russian people blind. We don't really know exactly how much money he's stolen. But if we did, he'd probably be among the richest one of the richest men in the world. And so for Pootie just wants to frack, drill, baby, drill. To that extent, he and Caribou Barbie would get along famously. And so would the rest of the Republicans. And frankly, Pootie doesn't give any more of a damn about ordinary, everyday Russians than any Soviet boss or czar ever did. Peasants is peasants is peasants. Serfs is serfs is serfs. Jesus Christ, we don't talk about it. But up into the 19th century, Russian nobility owned the serfs. And the serfs were bought and sold as chattel, just as we in America did with slaves in the South. Not kidding. And there is still a certain, even though eventually one of one of those czars, so-called freed the serfs. To be poor and on the land in Russia today is still not that terribly far removed from serfdom. And if you happen to live near a frack pad in Russia, well, Putin doesn't care how many thousands or millions he kills, as long as he gets richer. And he shares that in common with every fracking executive, every coal executive in the United States of America, because they prove it day in and day out. You want to find out for sure? Offer Pootie a glass of fracking fluid to drink. Or offer it to one of the people who own one of the pipelines. Offer it to a gas company executive, and they will all tell you no. And if you ask them why, they'll say, because that shit'll kill you. And then they'll turn around and say that fracking fluid is perfectly A-okay. And if you say, okay, then prove it. Tell us what's in it. They'll say, no, it's proprietary. Somebody might get a commercial edge on us if we told you all the shit that goes into the fracking fluid. And all the shit that goes into the fracking fluid is poisonous as fuck. And I and my colleagues have a long history of opposing the poisoning of our communities by the coal industry. Hell, maybe Dr. Hill's a fan of the coal industry because she's a coal miner's daughter. There's no coal mining to speak of in the UK much anymore, if at all. Maggie Thatcher put paid to all that and made the miners' families take it on the chin. But in the United States of America, pursuant to the Constitution of the United States, we have something called the right to petition for redress of grievances. And let me assure you, living where I do, that if you have the courage to stand up and speak out because your family is being poisoned because it lives near a godforsaken frack pad or a mountaintop removal operation, one, never discount the amount of courage that takes. People who struggle to keep their bills paid, and yet have the nerve and the guts to stand up against a multi-billion-dollar corporation. And Dr. Hill wants to tell me that Pootie caused that? Oh, hell no. Those companies caused that by poisoning the people we love. Every night at the end of the program, I thank the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch and refer to them as the hardest working, bravest people I know, and that is not a slogan, that's reality. It takes courage to do what activists in Appalachia and wherever fracking is going on do. It takes courage to be on the ground and part of the grassroots. To make bricks without straw, largely ignored until successful, and then ruthlessly exploited by the so-called big greens. It takes courage. And it is deeply offensive to have someone like Dr. Hill suggest that the only reason that people oppose fracking is because they've been influenced to do so by a bloodthirsty tyrant in Moscow. God damn, that got all over me. And of course, what she was getting at was that Putin would benefit by having the U.S. frack less and put less filthy tar sands through pipelines over aquifers that provide fresh water to millions and tens of millions of people in this country, because that's all she's thinking about is market and money. She's never seen a child dead from a brain cancer that occurs only once in 100,000 and has happened 6 times in one neighborhood, laid to rest in the cold, cold Appalachian clay. So fuck Mike Conaway. And shame on Dr. Hill for what all good she did today. Shame on her for that. Because it is some of the nastiest form, it's one of the nastiest forms of McCarthyism to suggest that marginalized, trampled people only stand up on their hind legs because it makes Pootie happy. Fuck that. I wouldn't cross the street to call Pootie the fucker that he is. If I did, I'd spit on his shoes. And I don't have to be influenced from afar to know when my friends and my family, my loved ones and my community are being poisoned for some American, not Russian, some American executive's 13th fucking vacation home. It was hilarious, Darlene in Connecticut says, when Dr. Fiona Hill, female Snape extraordinaire, meant as a compliment, remarked about the discrimination she received in England due to her obvious working-class accent. Working-class accent? If Dr. Fiona Hill has a working-class accent, then I don't know what the hell we Americans have by comparison. Pip, pip. Yes. Pip, pip indeed, Darlene. And this is not to say that I despise her, but I hate it when people display ignorance like that. Because she spat in the face of every person that I know who's ever stood up for their community in the face of raw and ruthless, remorseless power. Thanks. Mitchell says, a new book, Russia's Crony Capitalism by Anders Eisland, estimated Putin's wealth in the range of $100 to $160 billion. That ain't chicken feed. Thank you. Jim says, Tsar Alexander II, no freedom for the serfs, just ownership distribution was blown up. Yeah, Alexander II was blown up for that. Or was it one of the nobility that blew him up, or was it a serf? Don't know. My Russian history is terribly sketchy. Don't worry about it, Silent R. Lamar. Sorry for the planes comment, but changing the subject, if the Republicans can spell Donald, Pete should be easier. It's only 4 letters. Work with me, Bob. They're not all brain dead, but I agree that most of them are. Okay, I ran out of reasons to work with the dump. I need a shower. I got some dump on me. meanwhile, Rusty says, when she ground up Devin Nunez's talking points beneath her heel, were they Italian spiked heels? Rusty says, I hope so. And adds, strong-looking woman. Oh, she wasn't there to brook any bullshit. But, you know, there's a little bit of caution that goes into all of this, because you got to think, even though they were patriotic enough to come forward, you got to remember, she worked for John Bolton. And as I've said before,
when you get to the when something like this sinks to the level where John Bolton is the good guy, you know how bad things really are. Arthur, meanwhile, says, my, Bob, brain cancer's just for the little people. Oh, there goes another monocle. I simply must stop being so surprised by these peasants' antics, Mumsy. Yes, yes, indeed. Cowbell for Arthur. It was an anarchist bomb that got Tsar Alexander II. Thank you, Jim. Let's see. Fiona and fracking. Mike in Cascadia says, I heard that too, Bob, and it didn't make me happy. My immediate thought was she did work for Bolton, but with roots in coal country, it was an ironic contradiction. She obviously rooted now in the 30,000-foot level of American power diplomacy. She also said today Rick Perry's a great champion for the American oil industry and its global dominance. So she's fully immersed in that GOP slogan, American Energy Global Domination. Anyway, cheers, Mike. And that brings one more thing into that entire moment, and the idea that somehow or another the United States and Russia and any other country we care to mention can frack our way to prosperity. I don't know. Maybe Dr. Hill's never heard of climate change. Maybe she doesn't know it's not even climate change we're worrying about now, that it's a fucking climate crisis. That, as was noted during the pageant last night, we don't have decades to fix this. We got maybe 9 years, 10 years, tops. And if we're not on it by then, cancel Christmas. And one last reminder that goes into all of this. We have all probably heard the name Burisma until we do not care to hear it ever again. Well, let's just remember what Burisma is and was. Yeah, you remember Lev and Igor? Well, they set up a little bullshit shell corporation in Ukraine. Global Energy Partners, I think, was its name. Had no office, had no assets. But lo and behold, that was the outfit that funneled all the money to people like Pete Sessions of Texas and into various and sundry Republican groups. Baby, that was oil and gas money. And Burisma is an oil and gas company. And somewhere in the deep, distant archives of this program, you will find me, and I'm not going to hide from any of this, you will find me saying that it is not good policy for the United States of America to run around. It's not good foreign policy for us to run around encouraging other countries to ruin all their own water. And in point of fact, I said that when the story first came to light, and that, you know, there was no Trump on the horizon or anything, that Joe Biden was in Ukraine encouraging them to frack the fuck out of themselves. Go frack yourself. Climate change is real. And as long as the foreign policy of the United States is to encourage other people to poison their own water, poison their own air, poison their own people, we're not exactly standing on the moral fucking high ground. Let's see here. It looks like there's a vague chance that the stress line is working. While it appears to be, let's go over there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Miles from the blind, Bob.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Well, come December 1st, I get to meet my half-sister for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been tracking her down for like the last 2 years, and my sister has finally gotten her to commit to a date? Well, just the three of us and her meet for lunch. And, you know, I'm excited.
Oh, you should be.
Well, 40 years ago, Dad lit off for the territories and left my mother and us kids high and dry. And that was about the time my half-sister Jennifer was born.
Wow.
I guess Muncie's like Abbott, Texas. Willie Nelson once said the population of Abbott, Texas never changes because every time a baby is born, a man leaves town.
Well, no, I hadn't heard
I guess Muncie's the same way.
Yeah, y'all just got your mayor indicted.
Yes, we did. And they're very proud of that up there because during Prohibition, Muncie was known as Little Chicago and was just as corrupt and has been regardless of Republican or Democratic administrations. The graft runs deep. As a matter of fact, it was so wild during Prohibition that John Dillinger hid out in Delaware County.
I think I was, I remember that. Not remember, but no, I think I'd become aware of that historically somewhere along the way.
I think I talked about it once or twice. But anyway, I'm excited about that. And I just gotten off Facebook, and my friend Jerry, the right-wing lawyer, posted that as a lawyer, he could no longer watch the impeachment inquiry, and he went on and on and on about how bad it was. And I was thinking to myself, well, Jerry, if you can't watch it as a lawyer, perhaps you should turn your bar card into the State Bar Association and inform the Supreme Court of Texas that you'll no longer be practicing as a lawyer.
That's a bridge too far.
Well, it may be a bridge too far, but I mean, he could do it if he can't listen. But then again, this is a guy who cuddles up to Crossroads GPS and all the rest of that crap.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, or as I like to refer to it, cross-burning GPS.
Ooh, well played.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I was just wanting to check in and let you guys know.
I'm mighty happy for you, Dave. I hope it goes well.
I hope it does, too. Now, if we can just get Dad to spit in the tube and make sure that all the DNA tests get done. Confirmed.
Don't set too many stumbling blocks in your way. Just be happy for what you got.
Well, yeah, but one of the reasons I think we're going to find out from her whether she even wants to meet Dad or not. And my brother Bob and my sister Kathy and I agree we'll go at her pace.
Sure.
We're not going
to. It kind of has to work that way.
Yeah. I think it's the best way to do it. I mean, I did not go down to the state house on the urging of my sister. She said there were going to be about 10,000 to 50,000 people down there. But she did post some pictures to Facebook.
Now, is that the same gathering that Will was talking about the other night when the teachers went down there?
I didn't. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. and they ended up pushing.
Will took a sign with him that said, "Indiana or Indy-Bama? What do you want?"
Well, my aunt, my dad's sister, gave my sister Kathy a sign that had a red dress with a gold sash on it, a sign that said, "Red for Ed."
Well, you know, the bottom line on that, and it's the same thing with all, everywhere that teachers are upset. I guess maybe it's just maybe not Marcus of Queensberry rules or something, but you got to get them to, you got to, sometimes you got to talk plain to people, Dave. You got to tell them, listen, if you want things to ever be any better, you got to stop running out and voting for all these goddamn Republicans.
Well,
that's your problem.
My sister looked over at her colleagues in the union. A lot of them are Trump supporters.
Well, sure. I was talking with Boss Man Wayne about this.
But my sister looked over at them and said, if you want this to go through, you have got to show up. And I don't mean just today. And I mean,
like I said, David.
I doubt she listens to the program, but I swear she's channeling you when you she says that. And I was like, damn, that's right, out of Bob's.
Yeah, because like I said a minute ago, I was talking with Boss Man Wayne, and he knows his labor stuff. And he said something like 7 out of 10 union members in this country who voted for Trump. They gotta stop that shit. Okay? And like teachers in a place like Talibandiana, Dave, teachers there have to stop worrying about the precious little unborn fetuses and recognize what's being done to the precious little charges in their classrooms every day. And if they realize that, they can never vote for another goddamn Republican as long as they fucking live.
Well, personally,
and somebody needs to explain that to them.
This is something that my sister and I agree on. And I think looking at the way labor unions have been eviscerated in this country, there's a reason the Republicans have gone after the public service unions and the teachers unions. Why? Because you're not going to get rid of teachers.
Well, but the thing is, Dave, they have to learn, as we learned here, after the teachers stand up on their hind legs, then the Republicans come back and try to crush them. We saw it happen here. I'm sure the Republican legislature in Talibandiana will try to do something similar. And the only way for them to protect themselves is to get rid of the people who are trying to hurt them and the children.
Kathy told me if I wanted to support them, and I do, that I should start calling the Speaker of the Indiana House and all of the committee heads and give them what for, chapter and verse.
Well,
and do it on a regular basis.
Sure, if you can actually get through and they haven't just let the mailbox fill up and not bothered to empty it, that's a classic Republican trick.
Well, that's why I live not 5 blocks from the Capitol. I'm within walking distance. You may be able to dodge my phone call, but eventually I'm going to run into you in the halls. So I told Kathy, what you guys need to do is have a rotating group of teachers there to hound them.
Yeah. Well, Dave,
take
I'm glad.
A couple of personal days.
Yep.
And
organize. Yeah. Dave, it's good to hear from you. Listen, let us know how the first meeting works out.
I will, Bob. I will. And good luck on drawing down that ungodly number.
Yeah, filling in the hole. Thank you. I need to thank Arthur because Arthur just took us down to 885, got us down below $900. So thanks, Arthur. Thanks a ton.
That's That's great. All right. I love the Horn Community congregation, as you know. Goodbye.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Take care. Our buddy Dave calling from the blind. And, yeah, thank you, Arthur. You and Glenn have gotten us down below the $900 mark to $885. I had a note from Les a little bit ago. He said, just to play devil's advocate, if there are no limits in the era of electronic vote-stealing machines, we'd be three-quarters through the fifth term of the reign of error. Yeah, I'm not so sure of that. Remember, Obama stomped the guts out of McCain, and I don't think, seeing as how he just crashed the economy, I don't think Bush could have come up with a close enough margin to allow him to steal it. But Les goes on and adds, as soon as Sammy the Bull Sondland did his best Henry Hill on the stand yesterday, and then dipping before Jim Shorts Jordan could roll the plastic out on the House floor, I propose another round of $5 fuck Trumps. I'll buy the first round. So, yes, okay, sounds good. Every contribution that rolls in between now and the end of the program gets a merry and hearty fuck Trump. Let's go over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott. Scott.
Hey, Bubba. How are you?
Good. Stand by just a minute. I gotta go ahead.
Hello. I must be going.
There you are.
Hello?
Good. Yeah, you're
Hello.
Good.
Okay, good. The reason I had to pause there, I had my iPhone on mute, and I was busy doing something because you came to me quicker than I thought you would. So, did you happen to watch the post debate programming?
No,
on
I
MSC?
Couldn't. I couldn't. I couldn't. Just couldn't.
Oh, I wish you had. I'll see if I can find the some video from it. One of the One of the people on the panel was Michael Moore, the esteemed filmmaker. And let's see, who else was on there? I think Joy Reid was one. I think Claire McCaskill was one. Brian Williams was anchoring the post debate.
Well, yeah, it sounds like the same usual suspects who were there. In the pre-show.
Yeah. And I think Lawrence O'Donnell had been on earlier, but I don't think he stayed up for the post debate. Anyway, Michael Moore probably put it as succinctly as I've ever heard it put regarding why he is a consistent supporter of Bernie, going back to Bernie's earliest days in public service. And the gist of it was, he's been constant in his outlook and his ideas and the things that he would like to see happen. And in 2016, the American people, the Democrats, decided to go with Hillary as opposed to going with Bernie. And that's fine, I guess, But in the intervening years since 2016, a lot of what Bernie has been pushing for years and years is becoming more commonplace in the Democratic Party, to the point where we're not just raving, stark, crazy liberals to hear the other side say it. There's still a fair number of Democrats who are more centrist, okay, as evidenced by people like Biden and people like Mayor Pete, okay. But the thing that Michael Moore was getting at was the resonance that Bernie seems to have with people from 18 to 35. And he mentioned that it is their future that we're talking about, in terms of dealing effectively with climate change and dealing effectively with ending the endless wars and the obscene military spending and the dysfunctional health and pharmaceutical situation in the country. And it just, I mean, he got it right. And I wish more people had heard what he had to say, because I'm still with Bernie and I'll be with him until circumstances indicate going another way. You know, if it turns out he's not the nominee. So anyway, I just thought I'd toss that in there.
Well, sure, and I know a lot of people are. My primary concern, see what I did there? Primary concern? Has been not to engage in 2016 scab picking. And so I have shied away from endorsing any particular candidate. Not that my endorsement even matters, but I have determined that I'm not going to be another one of those fire-breathing partisans who, it doesn't make any sense for me to do it because my vote does not matter.
Yeah, because of the primary calendar, and yes, I get that. I get that. I mean, we're going to be able, for the first time since I've been out here, I think, in California, we're going to be able to actually vote in a month that doesn't begin with the letter J, as in June, for Christ's sake. We're going to be part, is it Super Tuesday, March?
Yeah, you're part of Super Tuesday, yeah. You in Texas. I mean, theoretically, Super Tuesday should end it.
Well, yeah.
Which in its own right is still kind of bullshit, okay?
Yeah.
That still means that you got a bunch of people left out there to vote. Who are not going to get to choose among all the candidates.
Yeah, but
there's only one realistic solution to this, Scott. And that is that's a national primary.
Yeah.
Do it all on one goddamn day. Do it all on Super Tuesday. If you need a little more, Jesus, this campaign's been going on for over a year already.
Oh, I know. We could take a page from the British system in the sense that their election cycle is like, what, 6 weeks or 8 weeks long? And that's it, Bob. You know, if you can't make up your mind in the space of 8 weeks, and yeah, they're a smaller country, geographically speaking, but I think the people over there take their civics a lot more.
But this primary system, as it has proven itself to be, especially this time through, I mean, I know the Yang Gang's out there, and I know they think he's the best thing since bread that was sliced by AI. And that's fine. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Well, it was the Acme bread slicing machinery that was revolutionary, cutting edge, if you will.
But, you know, Tulsi's not going to be the fucking nominee.
No.
And neither is Andrew Yang. And please, and Jesus, don't let it be AOB or AOB.
Yeah.
You know, Steyer or Bloomberg, another old billionaire.
Yeah. Or Senator Harris, God bless her. I ought to write her a note and say, look, you know, we need you in the Senate way more than we need you as president.
I have no doubt that she is a high-quality lawyer. I'd kind of like to see her. I'd like to see her on the Supreme Court.
Well, yes, that would be a refreshing
change. Because California
has
a lot of liberal progressive talent, or even just centrist Democratic talent, that they could put in the Senate. She needs to be somewhere that she can shine, and I think she might very well shine on the Supreme Court.
What I'm getting at is...
I like Cory Booker. I'm going to get evil. But, you know, goddamn, you know, he takes money from the pharmaceutical companies. Goddamn Cory Booker. I like Cory Booker a lot. I like Amy Klobuchar not so much.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that probably pisses me off the most in the grand scheme of the present situation is the exercise in profound political cynicism, Scott, that resulted in Deval Patrick entering the race. Because the only reason he entered the race was for the sole purpose of trying to draw votes away
from Elizabeth Warren in New Hampshire. God damn, that's a rotten thing to do.
Well, and
because
see,
that means he was put up to it. And that means it probably comes straight out of Grandpa Joe's camp.
And I don't know. I mean, I didn't follow his career as governor in Massachusetts. But if I'm not mistaken, he was not exactly burning up the turf as governor up there.
No, he was popular. He beat the. I mean, it was a damn sight better than having Bishop Willard for your governor.
Well, yeah, there's that. But what I'm
getting, who wants to run the risk of being out on the road to Maine for a summer vacation and being hit by a load of terrified Irish setter shit from the dog strapped to the luggage rack?
What was that dog's name? Didn't they give his name?
The horse was Rafalka. The Horn Ad Hoc Research Department will be on that momentarily.
Okay, I'm sure they will. Well, I guess what I'm getting at, Bob, is we do at this juncture in the narrative, the last thing we need is a centrist as the standard bearer for our party.
Yeah, but how are you ever going to get those hard-working, salt-of-the-earth white folks who voted for Obama and then voted for Trump if you don't have a mealy-mouthed, milquetoast centrist in there?
Well, I think I have an answer for that. You've got to craft the presentation to the public in the run-up to the election.
Dude, you're the one that sent the H.L. Mencken quote.
Yes, I know that. I know that. But the people, Mencken notwithstanding, the people have a sense of what's wrong. Maybe not exactly what's wrong, but they know that something is terribly, terribly wrong.
Seamus.
They know that for the last,
Seamus. Dog's name was Seamus.
Seamus, okay.
Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa.
But they know that something's terribly wrong, and they know that for the past 40 years, wages have not kept up to the working person, to the middle class, have not kept up with the obscene profits that companies and head corporate honchos are making. I mean, you remember the comparison, the ratio. 100 years ago, 50, 75 years ago, 50 years ago, the corporate executives' wages were X number of times that of the worker. And now it's like a zillion times more than the average worker. You know, the fucking jobs have been sent overseas for the most part. We don't make a hell of a lot in this country other than noise anymore. And Booker did make a good point last night about the opportunity for everyone, regardless of race, creed, gender, or whatever, or color, to have even a shot at doing well. In this country.
Yeah,
this
country used to produce opportunity. The other side of that coin, did you hear Mayor Pete make his pitch that sure, we need to tax the billionaires, but we need to make it possible for more people to become billionaires? Did you hear that one?
Yeah, I did. And
Because I hurt my toe real bad kicking the bedstead.
Do we have any idea who his campaign person is, who's running that operation? Because whoever they are, they've got him programmed to a fucking fare-thee-well.
And again, I'm not just trying to find reasons to bitch at people or to goon on people. Sorry about that word. I apologize. But a country that has billionaires is a country a country that encourages the existence of billionaires is a country that will always be absolutely hamstrung by the kind of income inequality that eventually leads to the failure of the country in question.
Leads to? We're almost at that point, I think. The inequities and corruption and I'll kiss yours if you'll kiss mine.
I mean, here's a great case in point. And God bless you for giving me an opportunity to talk about something besides the hearings.
Okay.
Brother Deacon Asa turned me onto this one the other day.
Yeah.
And it's just cool as shit. I mean, it is. CNN, it's a CNN business story. And you got to let me kind of work through it. All right. Okay. Matt Egan at CNN Business wrote the story. Secretive energy startup backed by Bill Gates achieves solar breakthrough. A secretive startup backed by Bill Gates has achieved a solar breakthrough aimed at saving the planet. Heliogen, a clean energy company that emerged from stealth mode on Tuesday, said it has discovered a way to use artificial intelligence and a field of mirrors to reflect so much sunlight that it generates extreme heat above 1,000 degrees Celsius. So
what Heliogen?
Yeah. So they've created a focused beam of solar energy that is hotter than 1,000 degrees Celsius. That, in a word, is hot. But it's not just really, really hot. The critical part of this is that it is hot enough for the making of concrete and steel. Okay? It's hot enough to make glass. And to do it without carbon. That's a big damn deal because we're still got, you know, you got to have steel, you got to have glass, you got to have all this stuff to in order to make solar panels and wind turbines and so forth.
Well, the explanation is in the name. Helio is that Greek or Latin for sun?
Yeah, it's Greek.
Sun generated.
Right. But to just work the rest of the way through this, look at the way that it was presented. Okay?
What do you mean, through CNN Business?
No, the headline. Secretive energy startup backed by Bill Gates achieves solar breakthrough.
Okay.
You know, all Bill Gates did was give some financial support, and he wasn't the sole backer. But he's a goddamn billionaire, so he gets his name in the damned headline. Okay? Oddly enough, I don't recall, I mean, granted, I was young, you know, I was brought to the television set every time something was going on. But I don't recall any headlines during the Apollo program saying, process backed by J.P. Gottbucks achieves milestone in reaching the moon. The distinction, Scott, being that we the people largely did that. Yeah, there were corporations that were contracted and worked on the Saturn program.
Yeah, but the people were the ones who ponied up the 24 point something billion.
Yes.
And that was when a billion was big ass money.
So what you have here is a narrative mythos that in the penultimate year of the second decade of the 21st century, we can't achieve great things without our fucking billionaires. And it is simply not true.
Well, I mean, he's got to find something to do with all that Windows money and that Microsoft money. And better to do something like that than, you know, piss it away buying politicians or something. What are some of the, did the article go into the practical uses? You mentioned making glass.
Yeah, furnaces. Furnaces. You know, creating all that heat without carbon. Now,
Wait a minute. I heard a knock. Is that Exxon Mobil at the door wanting to buy the patent? Are we going to go that way?
Well, hopefully not.
That's what usually happens.
Yes. The 100 mile a gallon carburetor.
I remember that.
Yeah. But in order to make metal, you have to have high heat.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, just as an example,
And the friction of Trump's thighs chafing together is not going to be hot enough.
Okay, you just had to you just had to take a stab at dinner in the Pacific time zone, didn't you?
Somewhere, somebody's dinner is going to get ruined by me. Come on, yeah. It's an established
NSFD, not safe for dinner. Jack in Shreveport invented that earlier this evening. I didn't even give him a cow, but NSFD is going to become a thing here. But
anyway,
for instance, you need heat.
Yeah,
for instance, my dad worked on a silicon furnace.
Yeah.
And one of the neat things is about geology is that quartzite is pure silicon dioxide, SiO2. And if you can heat it up enough, the oxygen will burn away and leave you with pure silicon metal. Now, in order to do that, they had these massive carbon electrodes that went down into the furnace.
Yeah.
And around it, they piled coal and wood chips and quartzite rock. Then they put the charge to the electrodes. The electrodes lit the coal and the wood chips, and the whole thing got hotter than hell.
Yeah.
And the rock melts, and then you tap the furnace, and the liquid metal comes pouring out into these giant chills that created the ingots of the silicon metal, which is functionally useless until we came to the silicon chip. But back then, it would be alloyed with aluminum in order to make an engine block that would withstand heat that ordinary aluminum wouldn't.
Yeah.
So you gotta have carbon. The production of metal is carbon intensive. Now, when it comes to actually making the steel, you've got to add carbon to the steel itself. But we got a lot of that kind of carbon. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, for the folding and the and that's why, you know, great medical instruments, you know, scalpels and stuff, and great swords and great knives are described as being high carbon steel.
Yeah.
Because it's steel with a high carbon content. But the fact that you can make the fire for these things hot enough and just use the sun, that's a real milestone. But the point is not the technology. The point is the idolatry of the billionaire class that is evident in that story. Bill Gates didn't come up with the idea. He just provided some money. You know who can? You know who else can provide that kind of money to a great idea? We the people can, and we've proved it time and time again. How many drugs have been discovered through the good offices of we the people of the United States, only to have the rights to that drug turned over to some fucking corporation?
Well, wait a minute. Do you mean like drugs found in the pharmaceutical laboratories, or do you mean
the research done by insulin? The guy who discovered insulin turned the patent of it over to the world so that it could save lives. And now American citizens are hovering near death because they can't afford the corporate markup for their insulin.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, and I need to send out some thanks. Thanks to Les. Fuck Trump. And thanks to Rusty. Fuck Trump. And thanks to Roberto, fuck Trump. And that means that we are now down below $800. We're down to $790 now. So even if we stop right now, we still won't be at $1,000. I don't recall a $1,000 fundraising hole on a Friday on the front porch, and we won't have one tomorrow. So we are at $790 now, and that would be $990 tomorrow. But the more we knock it down, the better we are. I just want to make sure. Make sure I get my fuck Trumps and my thank yous out there.
You've raised an interesting point of conversation, making the distinction between what Gates has done in today's world and the process involved with how we used to do it back when we used to do useful things and important things that were funded by and large by public money. To do it a billionaire's way versus a we're all in this together way flies in the face of like the past 35 or 40 years of Republican politics, they have got people so fucking brainwashed, what their little goo-goo clusters have been washed by the notion that Reagan stated on his first inaugural, the most dreaded words in the English language, I'm from the government. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Yeah. I mean, we've really got to have someone, not only as president, but also a unquestionable majority in the House and in the Senate, so that we can begin not only to undo what will be the first 4 years of Trump, and hopefully the last 4 years of Trump, but 35 or 40 years of mindset that has been polluted by these fucking right-wing think tanks, so-called.
Yeah.
It's a mammoth undertaking, because we're not only electing a president and getting a stronger majority in the House and hopefully taking the Senate, but we've got to undo not just these past 3.5 years, whatever it's been, but also the last 30, 35, 40 years of practice and mindset. I don't think people get just how stark the reality is that's dead ahead. It's like the fucking iceberg that took down the Titanic. And that's why it's so fucking important that 2020 not be like 2016. You know, I think back to good old LBJ's run in 1964. Okay, the tagline on those ads, and I forget the agency who did the LBJ ads back then in 64, but, you know, vote on November, whatever, the stakes are too high for you to stay home. But not only do we need to get the people out before they go out, months and months before, like starting now, we have got to educate them in terms of what the present situation is and what kind of things, what kind of programs and mindsets we need to really move us in the direction that we want to go, so that we have a nominee who not only is saying and doing the right things, but also will be able to beat Trump. See, that's the... We've got a lot of good people who are potential nominees. Not a lot, but I would say a third of the people up on that stage last night would be perfectly fine if we instruct them and let them know how we want for them to behave. The problem is, Trump is like the devil has gotten him, if there were a devil. I mean, he's like,
forgive me, but I'm not going to buy in on that one, because that presumes that the devil has gotten him, presumes that there was some time when he was a decent human being. And I don't think I think the decent part of him ran down his mama's leg.
Well, it ran down something. But what I'm saying is, you know what a shifty bastard he is. You know that he has no capacity for truth-telling. Even when he tells something that's remotely true, there's still enough bullshit injected into it that it negates whatever truth is there.
Sure.
So whoever's on that stage, on the general, you know, the general election debate stage, you know, is going to have to be not only somebody who knows what the situation is and has the plans to turn us around, a course correction, but it's got to be somebody who's not going to take any crap from Trump and is going to show him up for the fucking screaming fraud that he is.
And I mean, I may be wrong, but watching Grandpa Joe, I don't think he's that guy.
No, I don't either, Bob.
He's not okay. He's not okay in Iowa. He's not okay in New Hampshire, and everybody keeps talking about his firewall in South Carolina. Well, they talked about Hillary's firewall in South Carolina too, and they're probably real in both instances. And the line of discussion on the pre-show last night for the pageant was all about how, well, you know, and it was condescending, and it was about it was and the same thing this morning on my Filthy Morning Habit, all about how African American voters in South Carolina, blah 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 blah, and I'm not discounting African American voters. The point is, they keep talking about South Carolina because they say, well, you know, that's where we find out about real American diversity. And no offense, but South Carolina, black or white, is an intensely conservative state. There are actual reliable Democratic states that have an equally diverse population that can give us as much insight as South Carolina can, and Democrats might actually win that state. Maryland comes to mind. How about Illinois? How about New Jersey?
Well, I got a question about the order of worship. It's Iowa and then New Hampshire and then Arizona, isn't it?
No, it's or Iowa. Nevada. No, it's Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and then Nevada.
Oh, and then Nevada. Okay. For some reason, I thought Nevada was sooner than just a little bit sooner than South Carolina. We have got to be on the ball is what I'm getting at. And I don't think that it helps to have some of the marginal, and I hate to put it that way, but some of these candidates, my cat sitting here who just ate her science diet dinner, Chirps the cat, has a better chance of being the nominee than some of these people who were on that stage last night.
Tulsi, Andrew Yang,
hopefully
Tom Steyer, hopefully Michael Bloomberg, Kamala's not doing well. Corey's not doing well. And like I said, Julian Castro got blown off last night. When that guy's got more policy chops than five or six of those candidates put together.
Yeah, but when was the last time? Is he the Castro that's in the Congress, or is it his
No,
brother?
That's he's the Castro that was part of Obama's cabinet, and his brother Joaquin is in the Congress and sits on the impeachment committee.
I know one of them has a beard and the other one doesn't, but even with that, I can't figure.
Yeah,
who
that's
to.
Joaquin. He's in Congress.
But see, that raises the other question. When was the last time a sitting member of the House became president? Hadn't been in my lifetime.
No, that seldom.
You've got to go back.
Well,
if it's
hang
happened
on.
At
I
all.
Mean, technically, Ford came out of the House, but wasn't elected.
Well, yeah.
And generally speaking, senators and members of the House have a hard time reaching the presidency because they have voting records that can be exploited, especially the longer they've been there. The reason Obama got to where he got was because he'd barely been in the Senate long enough to get himself in trouble with any votes.
Yeah. Usually it's governors.
And there's a reason we elect governors, because they have real-world governing executive experience. I mean, that's why I'm still bummed out that Jay Inslee got disappeared so quickly. The guy's done a fantastic job in Washington.
Yeah.
And he's all about climate change, and he's progressive as hell, and he had to go because he was just too white and too male to survive that process.
So what lies ahead? The next debate is probably in the middle of December. I know there is one in December, and they don't want it to butt too close up to the holidays.
I don't know when.
I'm thinking the 12th or 13th or something.
Probably there in thereabouts.
There's going to be some people dropping off. Cory Booker last night did all but beg people to go to the website and kick in a few bucks. His numbers are not great.
Let's see here. Arthur says, stop liking Cory Booker, Bob. I generally haven't liked Booker because he seemed to be kind of corporate. But I think he's been turning to the left the last 5 or so years, maybe out of conviction, maybe out of necessity. Certainly better than your typical Republican anyways. And I can tell you this much, he's really, really good on environmental justice.
Wasn't he a lawyer before he was mayor?
I'm not sure, but I do know he has sat down and taken us quite seriously, and, you know, a bunch of hillbillies from Appalachia.
Yeah, housing rights, I think, is what his forte was before he got into big-time mayoral politics.
And there are things that would probably get him, if they had to haul out the real Oppo research, there's probably enough there to ruin him. But that's probably true of everybody. Hey, Scott, I got to get a couple more phone calls in, but I really appreciate you jumping in.
Before I go, Bob, let me say two things real quick. I would like one of the Horn research people to let us know who Mayor Pete's campaign person is.
Okay.
And also, I wanted to mark, since I may not be able to get in tomorrow, Friday, November 22nd is tomorrow.
Yep.
The 56th anniversary of the murder of John Kennedy.
As we say, of another date upcoming, a day that will live in infamy.
You bet your sweet patoot. And something drastic changed on that day for those of us who were around when it happened and who have lived since then. Something terrible happened on that day. An election was undone. A good man was killed. And it opened up a Pandora's box of madness all through the rest of the 60s and into the 70s and God knows into the 80s and even the 90s and up until today. And it just behooves us to pause.
And remember.
If someone has a chance and wants to know, there's a book from a couple of years ago by a guy named James Douglas, Douglas with two S's, called JFK and the Unspeakable. If you read only one book on the topic of the assassination and what we lost.
Yeah, I've heard that's a good one.
It is an excellent book, and the holidays are coming. Give that to yourself if nobody else puts it under the tree for you. It is a book that will open your eyes in ways that you cannot even imagine. JFK and the Unspeakable.
Good deal.
But anyway, thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Scott. Have yourself a good evening, my friend.
I will. I'm having spaghetti tonight. I don't know about the rest of you people.
Ooh, yum. Garlic bread?
No, I didn't do it. I'm trying to cut back on my bread and carbohydrates.
Your own private recipe?
Yeah, more or less. I'll send it to you.
Nothing like homemade spaghetti.
It's yum, yum. I put chopped black olives in it.
Oh, of course. Yeah, gotta have them. Love it.
And I don't use ground beef or ground turkey. I go to Target and get a roll of turkey sausage. It's just
Stop before you ruin it. Take it easy, Scott.
All right, Bob. I'll see you.
Later. Our buddy Scott calling from San Diego. And I've got some thank yous to give out and some fuck Trumps to give out. Let's see. We were at down to 790. Ralps took us down to 785. Fuck Trump. Here. And let's run over and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay. How you doing?
Okay.
I am, of course, stuck in traffic this weekend, so I figure, I was supposed to do a field trip. I took them out to for the school, but, we have school buses, so whenever there's a field trip, the parents have to take the kids on a field trip, typically. And so the trip was from North Hollywood out to New Garden Park, out and out. So, and today was one of those ripping, running things. First, I had to take Will because he was in his car service. So he left his car at my house last night. And then I picked him up this morning to go to hockey practice in Simi Valley. And then I did a bike workout this morning before I went and picked him up, dropped him off. Then I did another quick workout at the Y. for like a 20 minutes of treadmill. Then went and picked up my slow run girl, dropped her off, and drove back to Spring Valley to pick up Will. And then we went to breakfast, and then we went back to his apartment to help clean up. And I dropped him off at my house. So Dex came up to the car, and then I go to pick up. It's just one to say. And see, this is like the first. I mean, even though I'm in traffic, I'm moving at a you know, I'm kind of happy that traffic is terrible because it gives me a chance to kind of like, you know, say.
Right.
So remaking with the background noise?
Well, I don't know. You're a little. Are you on your Bluetooth or something?
Yes, I am.
Okay, it's a little tinny, but it's okay.
Okay, so yesterday, I'm taking swim lessons. And, I'm actually past the swim lessons now. I am now basically just swimming, but I joined a swim team, or not a swim team, swim club. But it's actually, it is a swim team because they go to competitions and stuff like that. So yesterday, I swam, when did I say 14 laps?
Yes. Oh my God, 14 laps.
Yeah, it's 25 yards swimming pool, but 14 laps.
Okay,
and,
so that's,
I mean,
that's 350 yards.
Oh, okay, that part. And then, and so, I didn't get a chance to swim this morning because I had Will and all the running around. So after I dropped off Penny, there's the Y that I go to is basically on the way to Newberry Park, Falco. And I had a 45 minute window before it was time for me to pick the kids up. So I stopped there and I swam. Now I swam 10 laps, but here's the thing. And also with the 14 laps yesterday, the fact that I did 10 laps this afternoon in under 15 minutes is huge.
Damn.
Because it used to take me, you know, I basically swam a lap.
I'd have to get out of the pool and barf up a lung after lap two, probably.
But it dawned on me because when I swam 10 laps this afternoon, and I'm like, and I did 10 laps in like 15 minutes, and I'm like, what in the? It just hit me. That first, you know, aside from the fact that this can lap, but I did it in 15 minutes.
Wow.
Which is cool. Yes.
You keep this up and you'll cross that 200 pound mark before the first month of January.
I think I just may. I didn't start crying, but the enormity of a hit, is that a word?
Yes, the enormity, yes.
Okay. It hit me, and it's kind of like, fuck. 2 months, because I started swim lessons, when did I start? In August. So that's 3 months. 3 months ago, I could barely swim. A month, and I've been swimming with the swim team since October.
Yeah. Well, hey, you remember when Grandpa Joe was telling his sugar pop?
What was the guy's name? Cornflake?
Corn pop. Corn pop.
Corn pop.
I was halfway to sugar smack, you know. Remember when he was telling his corn pop story, and he said he really pissed off corn pop because he called him Esther Williams.
Right.
Well,
Esther.
You're on. Yeah.
Fucking call me Esther fucking Williams, because it's just, I don't know, Bob. I mean, I could barely swim. I mean, I still, trust me, I still struggle at times. I still kind of freeze up when I get to the deep end, but I power, and swimming with, and I've been swimming with the fins. So that's really helping my legs get stronger. Those fins are no joke. But it's not taking me as much effort. So I didn't have time to do a full workout because typically what I'm doing like maybe like four to six laps with the fins, two laps or maybe four laps without the buoy.
Yeah.
Because I'm just trying, you know, and then like a couple of laps with the kickboard, and a couple of laps, but you know, with no equipment at all.
Well, the community's jumping in out there. Scott said, "Good for Tracy, moving like a damn hydrofoil through the choppy waters of weight loss." And Darlene in Connecticut said, "That's awesome, Tracy. Keep on keeping on." Absolutely.
I took the plunge, and I signed up for the triathlon.
You finally did it.
I finally did it because I'm.
So that's really running, swimming, and biking.
Yes.
Next, you'll be telling us about going bike shopping.
Well, I have a bike. Remember, Jan bought me a bike for my birthday. Have I gotten on the bitch yet?
Is it? Yeah, but I mean, you don't triathlon with just any old bicycle.
Well, for this triathlon, I can't. Because it's a sprint. So I don't have to have a road bike for this.
Okay.
I can just ride a basic bike because this triathlon is the perfect triathlon for somebody who has never done a triathlon. It's a 5K run, 10K bike ride, 10K or 15K bike ride. I'm not sure. I think it's and then 100-meter swim. At this point, I've already done, because 150 meters is basically, you know, 50 yards or whatever. But, so it's like three laps. Well, cause the triathlon is at, the Rose Bowl. Is that the Rose Bowl?
That's even cooler.
Right. And it's at the Rose Bowl Aquatic Center. And I believe their lanes are 50 yards.
Now, see, well, after you've gotten really good at this, Tracy, you know what you're gonna do?
What?
You're gonna do biathlon.
What's a biathlon?
Well, that's like that one of those James Bond movies where you ski your ass off and then you stop and shoot at targets and you ski for a while and you shoot some more. No, you don't shoot at people.
See,
no.
If they're Republicans, I will. No, just kidding. No, see, that's okay. That's taken to a whole nother level. And skiing, no, because people, you know, you fall, and I'm at that age where I could break a hip.
Yeah, and you don't want to pull a Sonny Bono.
No, or one of the Kennedys that ran into the tree.
Yeah, I prefer. So, well, tomorrow being tomorrow, I wasn't going to make the Kennedy reference. I prefer to just think of Sonny. Because he was a Republican congressman. Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
I said, I almost said Sugar Smacks, and Randy in PA said, I'm coming down with something, but I did manage to tell you that Sugar Smacks is A.G. Bill Barr's cereal. Remember Dig'em the Frog?
Yes.
So we'll call him Sugar Smacks from now on.
Yeah, you just ruined Sugar Smacks for me. Because that was my jam back in the day.
I was an Apple Jacks kid myself.
Apple Jacks was a shit too, and you know, well, all those high sugar cereals were awesome.
Well, I was always, and later on in life, I was a big Calvin and Hobbes fan, and I always loved Calvin's favorite cereal.
What was that?
super chocolate frosted sugar bombs.
You know what? Why do I bother with you?
Why? I know. Oh, just no, nothing but trouble.
No wonder traffic is backed up. Jesus. Are they still dealing with this fatality this morning? No, can't be. There's a fatality this morning on the 101 West.
No.
And why? Oh, I don't know who you're blowing at. Wow, now this is bad. So I'm heading on the eastbound 101, but this is on the westbound. And see, this is pumper-to-pumper traffic, and there's a car on its side. So you got to wonder, what the hell was going on?
I was
going
to say, are you in a turn?
Well, I'm straight on the highway. So this is the 101 westbound.
Somebody went through the median and spun.
You know, so there, whatever happened, well, it was the same thing. This is the second overturned car I've seen today. There was another one when I was on my way home this afternoon to drop Will off so Jack could take him to get his car. And fortunately, because I'm one of those drivers that have to pay attention past where I'm looking, you know, because remember, back in driver's training, he said, look at what. Half the cars in front of you. You gotta look, you know, take in the whole thing. And we're coming down a hill, and I saw the car overturn. So I got over and went around, you know. But I just hope they got. But yeah, there's a fatality this morning in that exact same spot. So I do not know. But it's not that one because that was. As a matter of fact, yeah, duh, it was there. Just went that away to go to Berry Park. So yeah, no, now I know why that got back. The people got damn looky loose. But yeah, so I am beyond ecstatic about the fact that and I got my backstroke. Shit, man, I was like, you know. When I was swimming, I'm moving fast. I can literally feel myself moving faster in the water. I can feel it.
That's nice.
I can actually feel it. And it's like, just the fact, like I said, I'm not panicking as much. Just trust, I still do. Especially because one of my main problems that I'm contending with, dealing with, is my breathing and getting the rhythm.
Yeah.
And because I have a tendency to hold my breath under the water, which you're not supposed to do.
Well, you're not supposed to breathe under there either.
Well, what it is
I mean, you're not growing gills or anything, are you?
No, I'm not aerial.
I get it. But you're supposed to exhale and do the underwater part with nothing in your lungs, and then right? Is that what?
Right, yeah. And then come up, yeah, and then bring your head up and see the practice was happening, and I'm getting better. And one of the main mistakes people make when they're swimming and when they're coming, turning their head so they can breathe and bring air back into their lungs. You got to keep your head down in the water and just turn like your shoulders up. And that, because what happens is when people raise your head, when you raise your head, you get leg drag. And that's why people get so tired swimming. Because they got leg drag. And so the practice is learning how to stroke and knowing when to bring your head up, turning to your shoulder and stuff like that. So your head is just the only thing you should not, when you're coming up for air, you should not see the sky. You should only see the wall of the pool.
Otherwise, you're turning your neck too much.
Right, you're turning your neck, or either you're turning your neck too much, or you're bringing your head up too high. And then when you bring your head up too high, your legs go down.
Awesome. I'm so proud of you.
So these are the things that I'm learning. And so I'm feeling, that's why I wasn't going to sign up for the triathlon because I'm like, eh. But you know what? I'm feeling, the more I swim, the more confident I'm feeling. And so now I just got to get on the bike.
Do me a favor, Tracy.
Uh-huh.
Give me a good full-throated fuck Trump.
Motherfucking Trump. Fuck Trump, motherfucker.
All right, and I'll add fuck Trump, because we needed to do that for Barbara and Will in Chicago.
Fuck Trump, how about that?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So that takes
What was the fuck Trump chat? Because I have no idea. I know you've been saying fuck Trump a lot. Is there money behind the fuck Trumps?
Last week we had the fuck Trump challenge. And so this week, Les suggested earlier, we do some fuck Trump challenges. So people seem to like the fuck Trump challenge, and it's gotten us down to $725 to go.
Sweet. Is this just for up to today?
Yeah.
Including tomorrow?
That's up to today. Tomorrow makes it 9:25.
So we have how many minutes to go in the show? 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. So how about this? How much is it today? What's left today?
725.
Okay. $25 challenge. So $25 super fuck Trump challenge. And so however many more people can, you know, say fuck Trump or get fuck Trump in. So, yeah. I'm just going to throw in $25 just for shits and giggles.
All right. So the $25 fuck Trump some more, no really challenge is on the table.
Really, really seriously,
fuck Trump, courtesy of Tracy. And if that's responded to in the next 3 minutes or so, then that's two more fuck Trumps for the evening. Thank you, Tracy.
And if you say it right, because when I'm really tired and I let my ghetto accent slip in,
mm-hmm.
It's seriously.
I got seriously.
Seriously. So not serious.
And Brother Deacon Asa just said, boom. Tracy's fuck Trump is getting clipped out as a sound drop.
Oh, awesome. Yay. You notice how I didn't bring anything up about the pageant or the hearing. You caught that, right?
I did catch that. And, you know, sometimes that's nice. Sometimes it's just nice.
No, because it's just because you're going to talk about
this. I got a feeling we're going to debrief the whole blessed week tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow.
On the front porch.
It's after fucking loop. I mean, because, see, out here, people have lost their minds. So we had this woman, today's Thursday, so Tuesday, She crashed her car not once but twice with her babies in the car. One died on the scene, and the other one died yesterday.
Oh, Jesus.
Or this morning. And she, oh, by the way, she was driving naked. In the suburbs.
If you tell me she had West Virginia plates, we're not going to be friends anymore, okay?
I don't know. No, she was, I'm pretty sure she was from here.
Thank you.
Well. And then, yeah, hold well. On.
So you know, out of her mind on something, bath salts, meth.
Something. She was naked. She got off the car, naked.
That's not even wiped out on opioids crazy.
No. And then over in Leimert Park, and this is not far from where Shorty lives, or where she's redoing that, rehabbing the house, we had some idiot somehow left a gun out and a five-year-old got a hold of the gun and shot himself in the head.
Duh.
And of course, and he's dead.
Yep.
This baby was a foster child. So, you know, DCFS, which, well, they're fucking useless anyway. Now, Jesus. I don't know if I'm using the word correctly, because the irony in this, all this, the baby's name was Justice.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
So, he will never have any justice.
Nope.
He's dead. He's fucking 5 years old.
God, I'm
so why the fuck was the gun? Why was the gun available for a five-year-old to get a hold of, and you're a fucking foster parent?
Well, you know, thank you, NRA. Why was the gun there? Because the NRA is there.
But why was the gun not locked up? So, because there were other children in the home. I hope DCFS had found some sense and removed those babies from the house.
And that was a foster child? Don't let those people foster any more children.
That part, an unfortunate accident. No, the unfortunate accident is the fact that you were stupid enough that you were born and you're on this earth breathing. And thinking that it's okay to have a gun, an unlocked gun, available for a five-year-old to get his hands on him.
There we go.
That's the unfortunate accident that you were fucking born.
God.
So yeah. Almighty. So why do I need to watch the pageant or watch the hearings? Even though I texted you yesterday. I could do it. I was listening to it yesterday, and they were going, and it was just gotten to that point where I'm like, okay, you know what, y'all motherfuckers.
Well, no, every time Jim Shorts Jordan comes on, I just want to say, you know, somebody go get me a peanut butter and banana sandwich and the Elvis gun. I'm shooting the TV.
I'm serious. I mean, they are grasping at fucking straws at this point. It is just. It's like, he is a fuck. No matter how, because if one more person says, oh, well, the fans were released only because he got caught.
Yeah, they hammered that pretty hard today. And I just, it's the same thing I feel
about.
Okay,
we're not going to talk about that.
No, it's the same thing I feel about the people of the First District of Texas. What the fuck is wrong with those people that send Devin Nunez to Congress? I mean, really.
I thought Devin Nunez was from here.
He is. But I said I feel the same way.
I
feel the same way about Devin Nunez in California as I do about the people of the First District of Texas who send Louie Gohmert to Congress. You just want to start knocking on doors and just look at them and go, what the fuck is wrong with you?
What the fuck? You really want to shake these motherfuckers and say, what is wrong? I mean, Devin, what did I say when I texted you the other day that he was the skid mark of the toilet of life?
Yeah, that.
Because the disdain, the contempt that when he speaks to these witnesses and when he addresses Adam Schiff, and just he's drip. It's just the arrogance. It boggles the mind. That people sit back and vote for these motherfuckers, and it's like, really, why? Not one Republican that I've watched it or listened to it has anything redeeming their slime, their sleaze, their scum. Oh, that's three S's, right?
Yeah.
Slimy, sleazy, and scummy. You know, it's just, there's nothing patriotic, nothing American, nothing that shows that they even give a flying fuck about this country, let alone their constituents.
Without a doubt.
So I know you got to go because I got to figure out what I'm going to eat for dinner because I'm fucking starving.
Oh.
I'm going to try to be good, but you know I'm not a big red meat eater. But you know what, dude? I really fuck up a steak right.
Yeah. You know, we all have those moments, and I got to tell you, you know, Ferg's been challenged in what he can eat lately, and I mean to tell
you. Oh, I know, poor baby.
I mean to tell you, he loves that jam, that apricot pineapple jam. It has saved him.
Well, tell me, let me know when you're running low.
Oh, no,
when you're
running
out.
It's over.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
Well, I just did. Because I think he finished. I think he finished it off yesterday.
Okay, there's running low and running out. Next time,
okay,
when you get to that part where it's halfway empty, now that we figured out, we can just mail it and you'll get it in at least 2 to 3 days.
Yeah, now that we figured out that the United States Postal Service has UPS beat all the thunder. Yes.
All motherfuckers, and it was like damn near $20 cheaper for me to mail it than it was for me to send the UPS that part. I'm not bitter.
No, no, not at all. Tracy, you have a lovely evening, and you know, just be careful going home. It sounds like it's a little crazy out there.
Actually, I'm not home. I'm at my PO box. So you've talked me home, and I made it after 101 and the 710. And 4 and 5 and 5/8.
Yeah, the 9 and 13/16. Yes.
Yes. So anyway, I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk to you guys tomorrow, but in the event that I can't, thank Trump.
Yes. And I will let.
And I love you guys very much.
And I will let you know when your challenge is answered. And we will start tomorrow evening's filibobster with a hearty. Fuck Trump.
Hardy. Laurel and Hardy.
Fuck Trump.
Fuck Trump.
All right, Tracy, you have a good night, dear.
You too, baby. Talk to you later.
Bye now. And so Tracy's Fuck Trump challenge is on the table, and if it gets met, we'll be down to $700, which means $900 tomorrow, which would be awesome. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in and taking it as far down as you did tonight. That is tremendous and tremendously helpful. Thanks to all of you who listen and participate however you so choose and share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our subscribers and our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky in the chat room and Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.